First of all, thank you that I can get to speak here, Stefan. It was nice invitation. I would like to tell that much about myself, about the Turku Home Church history. Our congregation is founded in 1996, and it belongs to the Pentecostal Church. And it's a different church than many other Pentecostal church. And I remember 99 or 2000, we've gotten a space of our own, and we got to use this space. In that sense, it is partly a well-known place. I think Camilla Klokkas was here then, the pastor, or Håkan Sandström. And he let us use this facility, your church here. I've worked from 2008. I've been the pastor in the Turku Home Church. I'm a reporter to my other profession, and I do the pastor work. Sometimes it's a bit difficult to balance, but I like both works. When Stefan asked me to preach, he told me what you have, the theme you have, and I have this kind of theme that I think fits here to your theme. So it's the God who is present. This preaching came in such a way that I looked at a documentary film about a Finnish band, Debo Dingo. It's to many of you maybe a known band, and this was made in 1985. Then this band was at its peak here in Finland, and based on this document, there was an interesting part. The maker of the document was interviewing teenagers, the fans of the band, and he asked the fans such a question. Is there among the band members more godliness than in the gods? And then two young fans answered in the following way. The other answers. God is so far away, a thing so far away. The Dingo members are much closer. And the other young person answers, the Dingo members, they are closer, we can see them. And when I looked at this half-hour documentary and thought, what would I have wanted to tell these young people? If I would have had a time machine, and if I would have been able to travel to 1985, and what would I have wanted to tell them about God? And then this preaching came about from that. And I will start this preaching by where Apostle Paul was in Athens. And this Athens was at the time, it was a cultural center. There were like sciences and arts. And Athens was at the time one of the greatest cities. Maybe it wasn't quite as great in the time of Paul than it had at some point previously been, but an ancient author has said that Paul would have visited in the year 51 there was like, and he said that there were like 3,000 different gods. And another ancient historian has said that in Athens it was easier to find a god than to find a human being. So there were many gods in this city that were worshipped. And against this background, it was easy to understand Paul's reaction to these adultery, to these idol figures. So let's look at how Paul experienced this. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. His spirit was distressed. That was a very strong expression in the original Greek language. It means to burn with hate. So we understand that so they were very well made, these idols. So Paul noticed that the Athenians, they didn't know the real God. So a God that was present who would be able to meet them. And as a consequence of this Paul's experience. So let's look at this. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heavens and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. For one man he had made all nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and boundaries in their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far away from any of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." A Bible teacher, David Guzik, who is a pastor, he mentions when he explains the New Testament this kind of story that is interesting. According to Guzik, hundreds of years before Paul visited Athens, in that city, there was a pandemic in this city that killed a lot of people. And then a sheep herd was set free. And where one sheep laid down, and there the lamb was offered to the god whose idol figure was closest to that. And then lamb was also offered to an unknown god. If this is true, then we can understand that God, that Paul, in a very clever way, told about made use of the history when he talked to them about an unknown God. When he said that there was an inscription to an unknown God, and as I said in the beginning, Athens was this kind of a historical place of wisdom and history. So there they didn't know the present being living God. And when Paul told the Athenians that God is really close to all people, and something is said about Paul's boldness when when he called the Athenians at the Athens glory days as the days of ignorance. Even though they thought they had all wisdom, they didn't have the real understanding. What does this speak to us, to today's people? Unfortunately, many people think about God still in the same way. Like these fans of Dingo in 1985. So to many, God is still a distant figure, and therefore it's best to seek presence for life closer. So people seek substance for their lives from money, from human relationships, from everything which can fill for a moment the emptiness that only God can fill. Christianity is still the only religion in the world where we can speak about a God who is present. Sometimes I've thought like this, that even this is a hypothetical question, even if I would not have the Holy Spirit and I would need to choose between choose the most sensible faith, I would choose Christianity. Why? Because the Christianity is the only faith which offers a close relationship with God, who came close to human beings and who died for people. I heard from a friend an interesting story. He said that he was in Japan and he was at a tea plantation, and he said that he got to know a Japanese girl there, and he started to talk about Christianity and Christian faith. And my friend said that when he talked about this girl, he noticed that this girl didn't know really anything about the Bible or Jesus. And then this friend started to tell this girl what the Bible was and who Jesus is. And then an interesting thing happened. This girl had never heard of Jesus. And when he told that Jesus came to the earth to die for humans, then this girl started crying when she heard about Jesus. And this says something, that in Christianity there is a power. There's a powerful more powerful message than in any other religion, because Jesus Christ comes close. And I will, and to the next, I will take a few Bible passages about how God comes close. God has expressed himself or revealed himself in creation. But ask the animals and they will teach you, or the birds in the sky, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, or let the fish in the sea inform you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. And then from Romans, the next passage. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So we can see here that the first area where God has expressed himself is in creation. This wonderful world speaks loudly about God's existence. Scientists are still perplexed when they examine the world, how complex it is. So everything in creation testifies that there is a creator, that there is an intelligent creator. Secondly, then we can take the next. God has revealed himself in his Son. Let's read the first passage from Matthew. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. A fantastic place in the Bible. In which other faith is this kind of a God who comes this close? God with us. This is amazing. And the John's Gospel also speaks about this. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke when I said, 'He who come after me.'" In many other religions, there are many holy men or women, but they have always been human beings who have eventually died and have not risen from the death. The Christianity is the only faith where God has come tangibly to the earth and he was resurrected from the death. Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jesus is being created by God. In Christianity, we teach that Jesus is God. And even if we many times, Christians of today, we may think when we are part of the disciple family, it would be nice. But what is even better, we can live in a time where we have the Holy Spirit has been sent to us. And Jesus said to his disciples, "They wait for the Holy Spirit." That is the even bigger, that they could touch Jesus. And let's read about the Holy Spirit next. Let's read about So the third place God has expressed himself is in the Bible. We can all the time hear stories around the world about how God's word changes a human being's life. The Muslims have the Quran. In many other religions, there are holy books. But no other holy scriptures change a human's life. But here we can read how a person can, by reading the Bible, experience an inner transformation. We had a possibility with our band to... And there we met in the prison, and there we met a prisoner. And that the light that was conveyed from him, he had come to faith. God's word had transformed him. And these stories are told all the time around the world. People read the Bible and God speaks through the Bible to them. This is the only religion in the world where there in the scripture is this kind of power to transform. Let's read about what Paul wrote to Timothy. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So in addition to that, God's word can change us, and so he also so we know from Methodists that this making holy is important. There's an incredible power in this to become Christ-like. And now we can come to the fourth place, the Holy Spirit, that we'll look at next. Maybe the slide is missing, but I will read it from here. So God has revealed himself through the Holy Spirit. Paul writes to the Corinthians like this. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? This God has let to reside in you. So let's look at how God has revealed himself in creation, in his son Jesus, in his word, the Bible, and fourth, in the Holy Spirit who lives in us believers. So in us Christians, the Holy Spirit that resides in us, we can talk to people, and people can believe that God is real. So this story about a friend of mine who talked to the Japanese girl. So there was a power that testified about this strength. So the Holy Spirit in us testifies of God. So it's the greatest power put in us. And this is important to remember if we sometimes are afraid of people, or people might laugh at us. We can be foolish. So we can all experience that sometimes. But the Holy Spirit still lives in us. And he is capable of transforming a person. He is a big God. So do you see how good and gracious God is to us? Even though the biggest part of creation has turned their face back to the Creator, he has still not forsaken his creation. What would I do if I would be God? Or what would you do if you were God? I think that at some point we human beings would press the button that says, now it's enough. That now I will not look at the human rebellion anymore. That all of this that humans do all the time toward the Christians and his church. But God has not done this. He has not gotten away from his creation. And now the following slide. Elvis has left the building. This is a saying that was used in the 70s after Elvis Presley's concerts. So the audience, the crowd was still very, very agitated when they thought Elvis was still there. But then when they heard from the radio that Elvis has left the building, then the crowd calmed down. But they knew, so because they knew that the king of rock and roll had left. Elvis was the king of rock and roll, but the king of heaven and earth has not left his creation. He is still a God who is present, despite all our sins, despite all our rebellion. He wants to find a close relationship to us human beings. When Adam and Eve were disobedient to God, they opened this kind of a Pandora's box, and they let the sins deadly virus into the world. Now, when this corona pandemic has been in this world, maybe we understand a little bit better what kind of an effect sin can have. In the same way as the pandemic moved around the world and affected people, in the same way a sinful virus is moving, and this sin has had different effects, and this sin virus has done its destruction from the beginning, from the time the first humans fell into sin. This sin virus is a more serious virus than all other viruses. So we can have physical... this sin virus can even cause a spiritual death. In this life and also in the life to come, God has done something incredible. He has sent the antidote to this sin virus. So the blood of Jesus Christ is the antidote to this deadly pandemic, to this deadly sin virus. And we can look next from the Old Testament and the New Testament. The first is found in Numbers. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by, so also the Son of God. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. So in the Old Testament, it symbolized what Jesus came to do. He came to be the antidote towards the sin virus, so he can heal from the sin virus. So through Jesus Christ, God has sent the antidote to the sin virus. And a human being who receives this through faith in Jesus Christ, in love and forgiveness of sin, he receives from God this antidote, special gifts or effects. And then when this antidote given by Jesus starts to work in a human being, we get to access such things to which we would have no right without Jesus. The first is a spiritual healing. When Jesus, the blood of Jesus cleanses us, we experience healing, a spiritual healing from sin. And then we get a new close relationship. God is no longer a distant figure, like for these dingo fans, but he becomes a close friend. He becomes a God to us, with whom we can communicate. The third effect of this antidote is that God's love can be poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. We as humans are weak. We don't know how to love in ourselves. But God's Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Maybe you've experienced in your life things where it has been difficult to find love in yourself. Maybe you've experienced in some situations, maybe in a very tough situation, God has been able to give you such compassion that you know you didn't have yourself. The fourth effect of this antidote is that we are written into the Lamb's Book of Life. So your name is written there. Whatever the enemy tries to do in your life, whatever kind of lies he tries to tell you, your name is in faith, in through faith in that book, and it will not be put out. Even if you feel inadequate, your name will not be taken out from there, because Jesus has saved you. The fifth point, which is the effect of this antidote, is that Jesus has prepared a dwelling for us in heaven. So what does this mean when Jesus has prepared this for us? There were interesting meanings. A dwelling means that it means like meant like a dwelling area. Then one was like a physical dwelling place, and then was a third place. But their real life continues there. There are real places where you live. So life there continues even more real than here in this time. And this is the consequence that Jesus came and gave his blood as an antidote for this sin virus. So then the final place, there still will come a day when Jesus comes back to get his own, to his new kingdom. In the Bible we can read that after we die, our souls will go to wait for the body's resurrection. And there, those who will be are resurrected from the dead, our new life will start in a new body in God's kingdom. And Christians, we think that God will destroy everything. So God creates everything new. But in Judaism, God doesn't destroy, but God renews. And this is a nicer way of looking at this. So God kind of like destroys this, and then he restores instead. Our bodies will be restored. And I think in the same way, God will restore this world. He will renew it. And we can live completely in it as it was once meant to be. So as Christians, we have a personal, a close relationship with God, because God is still present in his creation, despite its sinfulness and degradation. In Jesus Christ, God left his kingdom and came down to be a servant, so that we could be the sons and daughters of the King. So in many religions, it is believed that God can visit human beings. But in Christianity, the God doesn't just visit us, but he stayed here through his Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew like this, "And look, behold, I am with you all the days until the end of the world." So Jesus didn't just visit here. He is, through his Holy Spirit, here until the end of the world. And still quickly, God is present when we tell about his love. God is present when we do love acts to people. God is present when we pray for each other. God is present when we help the poor. The present being God has not left his creation. Amen.